We are delighted, of course, again, to mention the fact that Roy and Ruby are with us. What really sparked off our interest in having them down was what we saw on the television. And I have no doubt that as it affected my heart, it affected thousands of people in Ulster. Because people felt very much what they were feeling. And the words spoken by Ruby would have touched a chord in many, many people's hearts. And I thought to myself, if this was years ago in Lisbelaw, we'd have been asking them down and putting something in the Impartial Reporter, a monster Protestant rally, and we would have these protesters down. God send us those days again. That's all we can say. But we're still thankful that that spirit that God granted to his people back then is still in existence. And I'm going to take up no further time just to thank brother and sister again for coming along. And Ruby, if you're ready to go, you're going to have to sort of, there's two galleries down here. They got eat so much they can't move. So there's no bringing them back up again to the church. But I'm sure you'll be able to cope with them on both sides. You'll think you're in Stormont. So come along and bring us a wee word. Only if you look round, you know you're not in Stormont.
Actually, when I looked around me, I thought I was back in Gulgore Manor. When I was in it, there was a great big long banqueting table. And it was spread out with all niceties. And as I walked round, I walked up and investigated it and walked over and lifted something off it and started to eat it and walked away again. And there was a big tall man, I'm sure he was 6 foot, and as he was looking down at me, down the side of his nose, I'm sure he likely wondered what sort of a wee creature this was that had crawled out and was taken off the table. But however, the Lord helped us in that. And we need the Lord to help us again. And we trust that he will. And as we have heard, we do have a great God. And one who never forsakes his people. And we have a great Saviour, one who's interceding for us. Amen. At the Father's right hand. Now, in the year 1943, was it, Roy? I nearly forget the year I'm born. I was born into a home where there was eventually going to be 10. There was 5 boys and 5 girls. I was number 6. But in that wee house wherein I was born, there'll be some of yous, I'm sure, will be my age bracket, maybe. You might maybe mind something of what it was like. But it was just a wee thatched cottage. A wee bedroom to this side, and one to this side, and a wee scullery and a wee pantry. Just a cement floor and a few tiles round the hearth, and a wee black stove, and a thatched roof. That's what I was born into. Very, very humble surroundings. Very, very meagre supplies. We always had a loaf on the table, a bed to lie down in, a mother and father who loved us, was always in the home. If we were out and come in, we just talked about Ma and Da down in our country. And if we come in and if Ma wasn't there, that was the first words, "Where's me Ma?" Ma was always looked for. But in that wee home, we were taught right from wrong. We were sent along to wee Sunday school, as we called it, up at Balnafie. And eventually then we were sent down to Brookside Presbyterian Church. And I have to honestly say that from an early age, I did know that I needed to be saved. I knew that there was a heaven and that there was a hell, and if I wasn't saved, I would be in hell. I believed the word of God. We've been taught that from an early age. One of my earliest recollections, even in that wee thatched house, was whenever my father was teaching us all the Lord's Prayer. And he was knelt at the side of the bed, and we were all gathered up, sitting on the bed. And he was teaching us to say the Lord's Prayer. I have many precious memories when I look back. Very simple things, brought up in a very simple fashion, sent along to the local primary school. In later years, my father got saved at a mission that was down in the Presbyterian Church. And also in later years, my mother confessed to us that she had made a profession of faith under W.P. Nicholson. But with a family of 10, and in those days, it was the thing, the ma usually stayed at home. And if we were sent out and we got a bit bigger, my dad would have taken us down to church. She was always at home, and we came home, and the dinner was there. And in later years, when I even began to question maybe her and her salvation, she said to me one day, she says, "You know, Ruby, you're looking at your dad, and he's out at church every Sunday. He's in the choir. He's on the committee. And you say, hi, there's a Christian. And you look at me and you're saying, she's never out at church. She's always in the house. She's not a Christian." So you see, wasn't I weighing things up all wrong? Because if she said to me, where rare and ten weans, she had a duty before God, as she felt it, to carry out that duty and to be in the home and to look after her weans. Well, you know, I began to look at things differently, and I would have talked to her differently then too. And now both of them's dead and gone, and I believe both are in the glory, and I'll meet up with them one day. But as regards my own salvation, well, as I say, I knew. And at some stage in my life, I had made a profession of faith when I was quite young at some of those meetings or other at Balnafai. But I had a sister-in-law, half a sister-in-law, I should say. And she had got saved. And I don't know how it started, but she started to take me out to meetings here and there. And we had been going to different meetings. And one of the things that I did like, I always enjoyed the singing of the hymns and even the choruses. And I found that when I was listening to the hymns and singing the choruses, they were speaking to my heart, even in the singing. And one night we went along to a meeting out at Bali, and this wee man that was preaching, he says, "You know, maybe you're in here the night and you're not saved." Well, he says, "And you know you should be saved." Well, he says, "You know, if you know that, you have a responsibility to get saved. Maybe you have a family, maybe you have a mother, and maybe they're not saved. Now you have a responsibility to get saved, that you can pray for those people, that you may see them saved." You see, prior to that, I never saw it in that light before. I didn't see it that I had any responsibility to anybody. I just to argue with people in work, and I just said, "Oh, we all hang by our own tail. I just answer for myself." I didn't see it that I had any responsibility for anybody else. But that challenged me that night, and that spoke to me. I would say I was even under conviction of sin that night. For when I came out with Jane, and we were coming sailing home and all, and I don't know what a conversation, what it was she said to me, but I answered something, and she said, "Would you want to go back in and speak to the man?" And I says, "Oh no," I says, "we'll not do that, we'll just go on home." But you know, in the whole way home, I was in tears, but I never let on to her. And she was chatting away and blithering away, and I never let on. But anyway, it come that in the year 1970, and we had entered in to the month of March, And on a Friday, I was working in Gallagher's Tobacco Factory at this time. And I come home this Friday, 12:30 I think it was, we were starting to stop that then early. And I come home this Friday and wasn't a powerful while home. And here this car load of ones, Irwin, sailed into the yard. And I says to myself, wondering what's on the day. This is, oh, there's my brother and my sister. What are they doing coming in here the day? And I thought this, oh, what do you see? And I went out and I met them and I says, what's wrong? No, the way you be, you sense there's something. I says, what's wrong? And Samuel says, Leslie has got killed the day. Now that was a shock. Leslie was my brother-in-law, married to the sister below me, Martha. Martha had just come home that day at 12 o'clock with a wee baby from the hospital. 12 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, the police man from Kells and somebody else with him come round. The minister that was in Kells, the Reverend Mills, to tell her that Leslie had got killed, 28 years of age, killed in the salt mines in Carrickfergus. Some of you might know of that. And he was killed suddenly. Well, you know, that brought back to my mind what I had heard in the previous meetings that I had attended. And anyway, they left me, and Roy wasn't home at that time, and when he came home, I was in a whole state, and I started to tell him what the news was. And I was all confused and mixed up, and then he says to me, is the fella killed, or is he not? And I says, well, they told me that he was, but I says, I have prayed and asked God that it's not right. And I says, I thank God has answered that. That was the kind of talk I was going over. But sadly, Leslie was killed. So we get through the funeral. But one of the things, when we were over in the home on that evening, that was a Friday. He was buried on the Sunday. And we were over in the home. And that Martha went over to the wee casket. And left out the wee baby. She already had a wee boy and he was 2.5 years of age. And she left it up the wee bundle. And she just held it to her bosom. She says, darling, you have no daddy. And I looked at her. And my heart was breaking. All our hearts were breaking. But you know, I also felt that I had no saviour. Death had come suddenly. And I says, if that had been me now, where would I have been? Cut off suddenly out into God's eternity. But you know, I knew if I wasn't saved, I would have been lost. But we got the funeral passed. And I went back into work on the Monday. And I was working along with a couple of men, and they were from the Brethren. And there's saved people there too. And these pair of boys, they were saved. And they were wild carry-ons of boys as well as anything else, and we used to carry on many a time. But they always would have been saying to me that I needed to be saved. And this one particular one, Davy Peacock, and of course we had him christened P. Hen. Wasn't that nice? But anyway, we just called him P. Hen. But I would even would have had a habit that when I was going about my work, I would have been singing. And I maybe was walking about and I would be saying, when the roll is called up yonder. And I was at the bench and I had been walking up and down and I just would have been singing like this. And he shouted over the top of the machine, ach, I don't know whether you will or not. But you know, at the same time, that was having an effect on me. I didn't look on to him. And I'd have been singing this and this, but he shouted. But on this day, when I went back in, and all, he had been talking to me, and he started again about my salvation, but me getting saved. I says, look, Davy, it's not as simple and as easy as you boys make it out to be. He says, Ruby, it is. Well, I says, I don't see it like that. I says, I can't see it. I says, that's as simple as you're saying that it is. And he put his hand into his pocket and he brought out a two bob bit. Now, you wee weans will not know what a two bob bit is. And you might call it maybe a 10p the day, but it was a two bob bit in my day. And he held it out to me and he says, "Look, Ruby, when would that there be yours?" "That," says, "likely whenever I take it." "Well," he says, "that's the same as God's salvation. It's the gift of God, and it's yours when you take it." "Oh," I says, "that's all right, you saying that, but I don't see it like that." But anyway, on that particular night when I went home, the Reverend Jim Matthews, who was in Brookside at that particular time, he had begged for it, he had been witnessing to Roy. Him and him would have met up at the petrol station on a Saturday night down in the village. And of course, he was coming up to our house that night with the notion of talking to Roy. But as it so happened, he wasn't in. As usual, he was away gallivanting. I was there. So anyway, I invited the man in, and in he comes. And of course, it come round then to spiritual things. And we were talking, and I was using the illustration of what Davy Peehan had told me that day. And in the midst of all this talk, then you see Roy arrived back. He was away with Billy McCaffey somewhere that night, and the pair of them arrived back into the house, and this sort of changed my conversation with the minister then, the conversation. But when he was leaving, he looked back at me and he says, "Now, Ruby, you remember the two bob bit. And remember, if you make your decision the night," he says, "look out for the old boy in the morning, for he'll be after you." Anyway, the way they went and all, and I was about the house, and Roy went away down to bed, and I'm paddling about, and I was thinking over everything. And I had this desire that I knew I needed to get saved, and I didn't really know what to do. And I got down an old puffy that we had, and I knelt down at it, and I just couldn't tell you right what I said or what I prayed, but I just prayed something to the Lord that the Lord would save me. But I says, "Lord, I need assurance. I need assurance that you save me." And I don't really know what I did pray, but I asked the Lord anyway that if he would save me, give me the assurance that I was saved. Well, my Bible was closed, just lying on the puffy. Now, I knew Mr. Foster wouldn't recommend just to be doing this for picking out things out of the air. But there is times when the Spirit of God does guide it. And I'm sure he might agree with me on that one. Mm-hmm. And on this occasion, I believe firmly. I just opened my Bible. It just seemed to fall open. And I looked down at the page. And my eyes fell on this verse. And it's in 1 Corinthians 2, and it's in the verse 12. And it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Now I looked at that, and I read it again. Over, and I says, "Well, now, I asked the Lord to save me." I was kind of talking like this to myself by this time in the house. I was walking about us, talking. I says, "Now, I asked the Lord to save me. And I've asked the Lord to give me assurance." And I said, "Now, well, what does he say here?" And I changed the plural to the singular. And I read it. "Now I have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that I might know the things that are freely given to me of God." And I read that out and put in the I to suit me, that I might know, and I would receive. And I read it and I said, "Well, now, I did ask the Lord to save me, and he's given me the assurance." Pardon me. "He has given me the assurance." And I says, "I'm saved." See, as soon as I said that, the penny dropped. I knew without a shadow of doubt that I was saved. And I run away down into the room. And I says, by this time Roy was near sleeping. And I geese him a dog and I says, "Hey Roy, I get saved." And he just kind of sort of grunted at him. and made no noise. No, that was that. I just gained a grunt. I turn and I come up anyway, and I gets ready for bed, and then I gets empty bed and all, and it comes the morning. Roy, he's up. He's usually up first every morning. He's up anyway. I gets up. He says, "What were you saying to me last night?" "Well, what were you saying?" And I says, "I tell you, I got saved." And he says, "Well, are you still saved this morning?" And I says, "I am still saved this morning." So really, and you know, Roy wasn't saved at that time. That was the year 1970, and he was to be 5 years later. But you know, even in his unsaved state, he still knew, like me, that he needed saving all that. And he went away across to Nelson's. We were living near Nelson's, and that was he was work. And he went away as happy as Larry to his work that I had got saved. Not wonderful, and him still not saved then. But you know, I went out to my work, and of course I looked out the boys, and I went and told them that I had got saved. And on the Monday I had been crying, because you know what that's like when people's coming to sympathise with you and to talk, tell you, and the sad circumstances that it was, killed suddenly, and the wee babies and all, your heart wrenches. And you know, when it was Monday was a day of crying, and that was one of the things when I was going out then on Tuesday morning, the devil says to me, "You're going to make a queer fool of yourself. Yesterday you were blubbering, crying round all them people. The day you're going to tell them that you're happy that you get saved, they'll think your head's cut." Well, anyway, I went out and I looked out the boys, the two Davies as we used to call them too, and I went and I told them that I'd get saved, and one or two other people that I knew had, that were saved, I went and told them. So once I get them told, I had a peace in my heart. But not only that, then I went round the place like wildfire that wee Wiley had got saved. I wasn't too big, but a lot of them used to just call me wee Wiley. That's what I was to my wedding name. And there was a wee man, and he wasn't, we called him wee too, well, wee Taffy, he wasn't big either like myself. But he encouraged me, because I'm standing here, this wee body comes over, and he was a wee Welsh man. And the news had travelled from the cigarette factory over to the cigar factory. Somebody had seen him and told him that wee Wiley had got saved. And he left it and he walked over to where I was at, and he says, "I heard you get saved." He says, "And I want to come over." He says, "See, to say it's great news and to encourage you. Keep going on with the Lord." Wasn't that wonderful? And that encouraged me, even with that wee man coming walking over. For you know, I used to carry on from morning to night. It was good, clean fun like, you know, but I mean, that's the way it was. We carried on from morning to night. You couldn't wait to get into your work the next day for a lot more fun and value. But the Lord saved me, and it was great. And 5 years after that, then the Lord saved Roy at the 75 mission. And he transformed our home, he transformed our lives. Well, there's a lot of rough corners on us yet, Roy, that he needs to work on. But he's still working on them. That's what they say, he's still working on me. So the Lord has never done working on us. Yeah. We're rough diamonds, so he's still polishing us, and we're still learning. And we've been through another learning experience like lots of yous too. But the Lord never has let us down. He's a wonderful Saviour. And my desire just is that, as Mr. Foster sought even to encourage us the night, that we will get that flicker and that flame that is still beating and burning within our hearts, that will press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You wee weans that's brought up here like me when I was running to the Sunday schools, and you're maybe in the day school and you're in, you have a Sunday school teacher and just telling you that you need to be saved. Maybe lots of you are saved, and that's good. But you know, come and put your life into the Lord's hands, and you never know what the Lord can do with you. Yes. And just like me, just simply pray, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and give me the assurance that you have saved me." Amen. And he'll do that for you. For it's all written in this book. Yes. And this is the only guidance that we have. And you remember that as you grow up, seek to get your guidance from the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what we all have to do. And that's what I have to do too on a daily basis. Don't think I'm great. I'm far from it. I feel the Lord regular. But we come each day afresh. And as we're even taught today, even in our own morning service, that we have got a great advocate, one who loves us and who's interceding for us. and we're in Christ, and we're going to go to be with Christ. Isn't that a great future for us?
Amen.
So look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are so thankful for the words of testimony tonight. It's a sweet reminder that God is still at work amongst us, and we can expect Him to continue to work, and we're looking for a real measure of revival. May the Lord bless the word. We hope to put those testimonies up on the internet tonight. I was saying to our sister Ruby, I put an announcement on the site saying if anybody wants a translation of her lalans, they can send for a translation to me. And my wife, who used to speak that lingo, but I've edumacated her, she can do the translating. It's lovely to hear you both. It really is. And it brings back to me the fondest of memories when across the whole country there was a network of friends and associates and brothers and sisters in Christ whose presence we rejoiced in. Free Presbyterians used to go to stone laying and sod cuttings and door openings and meet up with those of like precious faith when the most of the week they were mingling with those that hated the gospel, and how we rejoiced in one another's company. Sadly, I think we've got a bit too big for our boots. Well, I think God's about to pare a few corns in this country before we're much older, and we'll find that we'll fit our boots a bit better. May the Lord hasten to that and work that amongst us. Thank you for your company, and thank you all for staying and I'm sure enjoying the testimony. I don't know whether to ask you all to come this way and shake their hands or send them down here so that they can meet with you. I think they met with most of the folk up here during the tea. Maybe I could ask Ruby and Roy to go to that exit down there. And there's only one way into heaven, but out of our church there's about 40 different ways. So we'll move you to that exit there, if you wouldn't mind, please. But before we have them go, let's just have a wee word of prayer. Father, bless the word that has been spoken tonight. We own its weakness, Lord. Oh, we wouldn't for a moment boast of it. Lord Jesus, we own its weakness. But we pray that it might please Thee to use the word to Your glory and honor. Hear us now. Give journeying mercies to those who have quite a distance to go. We thank Thee for visitors, Lord, from far away who have come to share with us and support us. Give journeying mercies to all, especially if it's still foggy. Keep them safe. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.